directs the body, the puppet, to look out and see a world that justifies our upset, our anger, our fear. It looks like it's coming from out there. It looks like the cause is out there. So in learning to look at it with the Holy Spirit and not react, a cause, in this case the world, the imagined cause, without an effect is not a cause. A cause without an effect is not a cause. If the world does not affect you, it cannot be there. That's the process of forgiveness. That's what undoes the world that we have projected from the mind. It undoes our belief in it. So there is a choice to be made. And that choice is, there's only one, which makes it very simple. There's only one choice to be made. And that choice is to be still a moment and go home a holy instant. Be still a moment. Lesson 182 in A Course in Miracles, I will be still an instant and go home. Still simply means no longer listening to the raucous cacophony of the ego's voice. I love those two words, raucous and cacophonous. Both words Jesus uses in reference to the mind directing the brain and then reporting back, shrieking constantly, keeping us believing that there actually is. We need to be afraid of the dream. We need to be afraid of the ego's projection. Of course, all of this, as you know, is to protect the guilt in the mind so that we can never, ever get back to the mind and decide against the ego. That's the ego's plan. Keep us fixated on the world with the body senses reporting that the world is indeed out there, and it's just this closed circular loop, and the decision for the ego that's in the mind is protected. The decision for the ego, and therefore sin, guilt, and fear that followed it, that's all protected as long as we believe there's a world out there and it can do something to us and we're at the effect of it. We don't even know we have a mind. We don't even know that we have a choice. So over and over the Course directs us, every single lesson is directing us in making that decision against the ego and for the Holy Spirit. In the case of I will be still an instant and go home, the imagery that Jesus is using is the imagery of the child, the little child that is stirring in us. Obviously, as Course in Miracles students, it's stirring in us, and it probably was stirring long, long ago in early childhood, where we felt there was something, just something, not quite right about the way the world appeared to us, the way we saw the world, the way we heard people speaking of the world, the way we heard our parents speaking of the world. Like, golly, could this be it? I mean, could this be all there is? So we did question, and what questioned was the little child representing the Christ that is yearning to go home, that we, instead of listening to the raucous shrieks of the ego, we have withdrawn its fear-mongering, withdrawn our belief in its fear-mongering, and we no longer listen to that voice, which means the only voice to listen to then is the Holy Spirit's voice. Let us be still an instant and go home with this child that is calling us. I'm going to read the first part of this lesson because it's staggering in its call to awakening, to awaken. It's reaching deep into all of us, to the most innocent part of our minds, and calling us to see what we're doing, see where we are, take a look, but don't be afraid. Look at what we've made, and is this what you deserve? You know, is this the world you deserve? A world of sickness, pain, suffering, and death? Is this what you have made for yourself? Come home. Come home with me, the Christ child says, the little child. So this is the very beginning, and then I'll skip to the end. This world you seem to live in is not home to you. Somewhere in your mind you know that this is true. A memory of home keeps haunting you, as if there were a place that called you to return. Although you do not recognize the voice, nor what it is the voice reminds you of, yet still you feel an alien here, from somewhere all unknown. Nothing so definitive that you could say with certainty you are an exile here. Just a persistent feeling, sometimes not more than a tiny throb, at other times hardly remembered, actively dismissed. But surely to return to mind again. No one but knows whereof we speak. Yet some try to put by their suffering in games they play to occupy their time and to keep their sadness from them. Others will deny that they are sad and do not recognize their tears at all. Still others will maintain that what we speak of is illusion, not to be considered more than but a dream. Yet who in simple honesty, without defensiveness and self-deception, would deny he understands the words we speak? We speak today for everyone who walks this world, for he is not at home. He goes uncertainly about in endless search, for he is not at home. He goes uncertainly about in endless search, seeking in the darkness what he cannot find, not recognizing what it is he seeks. a thousand homes he makes, yet none contents his restless mind. He does not understand, he builds in vain the home he seeks cannot be made by him. It is no substitute for heaven. All he ever made was hell. So that makes us stop an instant and not deceive ourselves that we can make the world a happy place or bring Jesus here for us to make it better. Again, we need to remember that we're taking his hand and he's leading us out of the dream and taking us to his country. It's not for us to ask him to come here into this wasteland and help us make our dream better. It's about waking up from dreaming to end this imagined bondage that we're in to the world and to the body. When we speak of world, you can also put / body, because the world and the body are both the projection of the ego thought system of separation, and it's friends, one or the other, kill or be killed. That's the ego's mantra. It's me or you, it's one or the other. It's never together or not at all. It's always separate interests, not shared interests. So our decision is, are we the son of God or are we the son of the ego? If we're the son of God, we're a mind. If we're the son of the ego, we're a body in a dream. And that's always the choice we're making, the only choice. It may look different in different situations, but it's always the same. Are we choosing to return to the mind where we made the decision for the ego and to change it, to choose a different teacher? That's the only decision we need to make, the only change we need to make. You can see very simply that if the world is the projection of the ego's thought system of sin, guilt, and fear, then all we need to do is change the teacher to the Holy Spirit and look at the projection we've made and smile at it, not take it seriously. So it's only one decision, really. I mean, we can follow fear through all of its circuitous routes, as Jesus talks about in the Course, but he says in chapter 15, you don't need to do that. You don't need to analyze every upset and fear and problem and difficulty and pain that you have. All you need to do is remember, if there is pain, it's because I've chosen the teacher of the ego as my teacher. The ego is always projecting pain onto the body or onto the world. Its job is to get rid of the pain in the mind, but the pain is in the mind. So that's what has to be changed. It's in the mind that the sin and the suffering and the pain are hidden. It's in the mind that we believe in sin, guilt, and fear. So the mind that's got to be changed, and there's only one change to make. which makes it so simple. Once we really, that kicks in, and we really get that it's all the same situation we're looking at in the world. There's no hierarchy among illusions. That's the first law of chaos, that there is a hierarchy among illusions, that a cold is less than a poisonous snake bite, or a financial disaster and losing everything is worse than a car accident. It's all the same illusion. It's just one illusion. There's no hierarchy. An illusion is an illusion is an illusion. One times zero is zero. A million times zero is zero. It's really all nothing. So to learn that we are minds and only minds is our way to freedom. We're decision-making minds. And that's our way out of the dream, to activate that decision-maker over and over and over again, to realize when we are choosing the ego because we're seeing guilt outside of ourselves, we're seeing guilt in someone else, or we're seeing guilt in the body, or we're seeing pain in the body. That is evidence that we're looking at our projection, and it's the opportunity to go back to the mind and just simply say, oh, guess what? I must have decided wrongly. I chose the wrong teacher. And over, we make that decision until we only see what the Course calls the real world, which is in the mind. If the mind that's at peace is the real world. So let's finish this lesson, which ends with a very beautiful meditation. When you are still an instant, when the world recedes from you, what we were just talking about, when valueless ideas cease to have value in your restless mind, then you will hear his voice. So poignantly, he, the little child, calls to you that you will not resist him longer. In that instant, he will take you to his home. Take Jesus' hand. He will take you to his country. Don't ask him to come here. You will not resist him longer. So poignantly he calls to you that you cannot resist him longer. In that instant, he will take you to his home, and you will stay with him in perfect stillness, silent, and at peace beyond all words, untouched by fear and doubt, sublimely certain that you are home. Rest with him frequently today, for he was willing to become a little child that you might learn of him. How strong is he who comes without defenses, offering only love's messages to those who think he is their enemy. He holds the might of heaven in his hand, and he calls them friend and gives his strength to them, that they may see he would be friend to them. He asks that they protect him, for his home is far away, and he will not return to it alone. Christ is reborn
as but a little child, each time a wanderer would leave his home, for he must learn that what he would protect is but this child who comes defenseless, and who is protected by defenselessness. Go home with him from time to time today. You are as much an alien here as he is. Take time, lay aside your shield, which profits nothing, and lay down the spear and sword you raised against an enemy that has no existence. There is nothing out there. There is no one out there. There is nothing to fear. An enemy against has no meaning. There is none. Christ has called you friend and brother. He has even come to ask your help in letting him go home today, completed and completely. He has come as does a little child who must beseech his father for protection and for love. He rules the universe, and yet he asks unceasingly that you return with him and take illusions as your gods no more. You have not lost your innocence. It is for this you yearn. This is your heart's desire. This is the voice you hear, and this the call which cannot be denied. The Holy Child remains with you. His home is yours. Today he gives you his defenselessness. Today he gives you his defenselessness. And you accept it in exchange for all the toys of battle you have made. And now the way is open. The journey has an end in sight at last. Be still an instant and go home with him and be at peace a while. Your mind, holy, it rules the universe. You are the decision maker. There is nothing out there to fear. The dream can do nothing to you. It's a dream. It can do nothing to you. So let us hasten to our Father's house and to be at home throughout the day and all our busy doings. This holy place within us, this stately calm within, is there, even on our busy doings, even when we forget, it's there. And the more we acknowledge it, the more we give value to it, the more we decide for the Holy Spirit, the more we believe, the more we understand that we really are minds and we really are free. And there is no reason for pain, not psychological pain, not physical pain. Pain is a belief in sin in the mind. When we rest in God, that belief dissolves. And then the body can't suffer pain. The body doesn't feel pain. It never feels. There is no feeling in the body. It does what the mind tells it to do. If we choose the ego tells the body, projects in on it and says that the pain is in the body. But there is no pain. The body doesn't feel. So we must address our belief in suffering and pain in the mind. This lesson at the end tells us to lay down our shield. We're defending ourselves, protecting ourselves from our own dream, from what we projected outside the mind. It has no power. So every time we defend ourselves, we are attacked, right? So all we need to do is put down those defenses. We're fighting a battle that isn't even there. So let us go home an instant. We go together, you and I. We go together. Amen.